Soundstripe.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to That's Relatable with me. My name is Brooke. If you've not been here before, I like to get on here and talk about things I struggle with and things that you struggle with and things that I know other people have struggled with, insecurities, things that just like put a knot in our stomach and make us all riled up. So I like to come on here and talk about that, and just the goal is to give encouragement, lift people up, and just help others know that like you're not alone in your day-to-day struggles. So today, to be quite honest, I have my little mic on while I am driving my car. So do not be alarmed. I am able to drive with both of my hands on the wheel. Okay. It's just a little mic that I'm wearing. So anyways, if you hear like the rumble of the road, like I don't know how this is going to sound because I'm obviously not listening to it back yet, but I don't know. I'm in my thoughts a little bit, and I find that like the best time to record a podcast is like when I am in the quiet times of the day to day, like whenever I have alone time and my thoughts just kind of pop in my head. Like those are the times where I'm like, yeah, I think we should sit down and talk about this. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. So we're going to dive on into basically just like how I can feel myself starting to tie my struggles and my like insecurities and just like day-to-day like mundane things into like being, I don't know, it's becoming more biblical to me. Like I'm starting to lean on the Bible more than I ever have in my entire life, and it's a freaking game changer. Like it's the most refreshing thing that I've ever done for myself, and now I can't stop talking about it. And it's not supposed to be like forceful or overbearing, but the way that I've seen my attitude and like my mannerisms and just like the heaviness of like carrying junk around on my chest, like the way that that's gone away from me, it's like it's stupid for me not to talk about it. Like it makes me pumped. I'm freaking pumped about the way I feel and the way that I'm able to handle things these days. And I think it's just like opening up my eyes to how many times like, or how many of us don't do that yet. And I can say that because it's always been me. Like I've always been the type of person who's tried to handle things on my own and who let anxiety and like worry and stress like literally run my life. And it's just becoming more and more apparent to me like how common that is in society. Like we are an anxiety ridden, crazy, just worry wart society, and rightfully so. Like the world is kind of a crapshoot right now, to be quite honest. Like there's so many things you see online and like all these new reports, and of course the freaking election coming up, is just like it's zero positivity going on. And so of course we are just like running around with our stomach in a knot and thinking that the world is doomed. And I don't know, you guys, I feel like there's a big reason that there's so many of us running around with that anxiety. It's because we're not leaning on things biblically. How about I just say we're not leaning on the Bible as much as we once were? And I know I might ruffle some feathers in saying that, but it's not supposed to be like a shame on you type of thing, because again, like that is not my gig. I'm not here to condemn. I'm not here to scold. And I quite literally am going to love you and encourage you regardless of if you're a believer or not. So it's not supposed to come off that way. So please like hear me when I say that. But I do think there's something to be said about like just the way that my anxiety has gone away, the way that I'm able to breathe now and to walk through life confidently without so much worry, and just literally be able to be like, you know what, God's in control. And I can fully believe in that now, where I've always said it, you know, I've always said like, I'm a Christian, like I believe in Jesus. And, you know, I did, and I, you know, whatever, I was a Christian, but I didn't like fully own it and fully believe. Like I always had that little lingering sense of doubt and like, okay, but what if we all wrong here? Like, okay, but yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, but what if we're wrong? Are we gonna look stupid if we're wrong? Like that's how my mind has always been. And now I'm to the point where it's like, there's no doubt in my mind. There's literally zero doubt in my mind. I don't have to question it. I've seen God like move in my life more this last year than I know. No. It's become apparent to me how much he's moved in my life. It's been apparent to me this this past year, but he's been moving in my life for a long time now. And like all of these things, it's like flashbacks are coming and hitting me in the face a lot recently, where God's like, hey, doofus, that was me. Oh, that was me again. Oh, that was me again. All those times in high school that you were struggling. Oh, when you were in college and that happened. Oh, that was me. And he's just kind of showing me like, hey, Nimrod, it's been me the whole time. And he's moving in my life. And I just feel like I can't stop talking about it. So that's where we're at today. And I feel like I have to kind of bridge that gap and explain, like, how did I get from point A to point B? How was I, you know, kind of the lukewarm Christian who was just like, eh, well, I guess we're going to find out someday. Not in a rush, but we're going to find out. But to now where I don't have to worry and I don't have to wonder, and I can fully, like, just trust that God is who he says he is. And like I said, this has not always been my gig. Like, if you've listened to my earlier episodes, I still stand by those. I still very much so have been burnt by people who are overly religious, who like force religion upon you. Like, I've been there. So for those of you who are non-believers, because you're like, oh, Christians are so pushy and they're blah, 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 they're like, whatever. Like, I've been on your like side. Like, I've always been a believer, and I've known that Jesus like has to be real. And I've wanted to believe that. And, you know, I have, but it's always been based off of someone else's faith. Like, I've my faith, everybody's, to be quite honest. Like, once you start out as a Christian, like, your faith is based off of what you hear from other people's faith, I feel like, from other people's testimonies. And so for a long time, I was just kind of in survival mode. And that's how my relationship was with Jesus. Like, I knew I believed, and I knew I was a Christian, but I never had fully experienced my own testimony, I guess, and that hadn't fully developed yet. So anyways, like, for those of you who are like, oh, I'm so burnt out by Christians, blah, 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 like, I've been on that side. So please hear this and know that, again, it's not coming from a forceful, pushy place, but just literally from the fact that I feel so much more relieved as a human being in general. Like, I can't stress that enough. So anyways, the thing that has been the most humbling is like having to put my freaking ego down. Because like I said, I've always claimed to be a Christian, and I've always believed to an extent, but I had been in this place for like, I would venture to say like a couple years, like seriously, maybe like 3 or 4 years, maybe, I don't know, around that time, I guess, where I have been so frustrated with God, because I had been like, dude, I'm trying to read my Bible, I'm trying to pray to you, and you're not moving. You're quiet. Why are you quiet? Oh, okay. Like, you're like, I literally would like get in these arguments in my head, like, oh, okay, I'll just be here by myself and you're just not going to answer me, and I'm trying to pray to you. Like, and for so long I was putting God on like the bad guy side. Like, dude, I'm working over here. Where are you? What are you doing? Come on, like, talk to me. And, man, if you know me, you know I'm stubborn. Like, I got a little bit of an attitude. I've got a little bit of the, like, a little bit of sass with me. And so I wrestled with God for a long time until he finally just freaking broke me down. And like, I finally had to fold, because all that was happening is I was like, oh my gosh, what's the little phrase I'm trying to look for? It's like, I was turning my wheels. No, that's not it. I was just like digging in and nothing was happening. And so I was getting exhausted. Like, I was just mentally over it. I was tired of trying to even pursue God. Like, I felt like it was just all going to waste. I knew he was real and I felt like he was real, but he wasn't moving in my life. And I was just going through the motion of life, just be like, okay, cool, this is great, thanks for leaving me hanging. That was totally just my perception for a while. I'm just like, okay, well, you're just gonna leave me hanging, cool, thanks for that. And so finally, I had to kind of really step back and be like, instead of being angry, like, I started getting like honestly kind of sad. And I would hear great things happening in other people's testimonies and other people's lives, and I was like, dude, why not me? Like, why are you purposefully neglecting me? Why are you not like talking to me when I'm trying to read my Bible and I'm trying to pray to you and I don't feel your movements anywhere? And it just kind of hit me for a second. Like, I still had that empty void in me. Like, I wasn't satisfied with things around me. I just was cranky and just a worry war, anxiety ridden psychopath is what it felt like. And it finally got to the point of like, okay, clearly God is not going to move in my life right now. I have got to do something and move myself if I want this this empty void to be filled, if I want to be happy and energized and just feel like me again. And it really came down to that boiling point of being like, dude, I'm so just almost hurt. Like I don't know where you're at. And I have to be the one to make a change now. And so that, I think, in that whole waiting period of God not talking, I didn't feel like he was moving or speaking to me. He wasn't doing anything in my life. Like, I felt like, boom, that was the breaking point. Like, oh, okay, that's why he's been quiet this whole time, is he's been waiting for me to have this aha moment of, I've got to move, instead of continuously pointing my finger at God and saying, why aren't you moving? And so I had to stop and I had to think, well, what does it look like when I say that I read my Bible? And I laugh because it's like, oh yeah, I read my Bible. No, what I was doing is when I was feeling anxious or scared or worried, I would literally like go Google like verses for when you're scared or verses for when you're anxious. And then I would go to that part of the Bible and I would just read that little snippet. And it's like, I was just going to the Bible for quick fixes. I wasn't going to actually learn about Jesus or God. Like I wasn't learning anything besides I wanted a quick fix for my issues that I was having right now. And that wasn't reading the Bible. Like, sure, I was opening it, but I wasn't actually doing it for the right purposes. I was just doing it for my own reasoning. And I felt like God had to shake me up a little bit and be like, dude, you're being selfish. You're only reading this because you want something out of it. But why don't you just come to read it because you want me? Like, am I not enough of a reason for you to just want to read your Bible? And that's when I was like, oh crap, dude. Like, I see it. You've been talking to me this whole time. I've just been a freaking Nimrod and have not been listening. Like, I get it now. And side note, like, I've always done devotionals. I've always had my little couple minute devotionals that you could read in the morning or night, whatever. And I still love devotionals. I think they're great, but I think it's really important to realize that devotionals are not like the whole food source of God. And the best way I can explain this is like an analogy of, okay, you have a protein goal every day, right? You're supposed to have a certain amount of protein every day, for your meals or whatever. And if you don't reach that goal, you can have a protein shake, right? Like a supplementary protein shake. And so that's the best analogy that I can think of in this case. It's like, you can have a protein shake, sure, but like the best way to get your protein is from your whole food sources, right? Like your genuine actual protein. And then if you're still short, you can throw in your protein shakes. Like, I don't know if this is clicking with anyone, but that's kind of how I feel like the Bible is. Like, go to your Bible for the whole food, like true source of the Holy Spirit, but then also like supplement with your devotionals on the side if you feel like you need more in your spiritual life. Like, so I'm not knocking devotionals, but I do think there's something completely different. Like, I've never understood when people said, oh yeah, like the Bible is the living word, blah, blah. And to me, I'm like, what do you mean it's a living word? These little pages gonna get them start dancing around? Like, I don't get it. But there is something so seriously true about that. Like, reading your Bible, and I can't explain it. I don't know. You just got to try it. Take my word for it. But reading your Bible, things move in your mind and in your heart. And God speaks to you a lot when you go directly to the Bible versus just in your devotionals. Not saying you can't have that interaction in devotional, but I hope you guys understand what I'm saying. Right? So anyways, back to where I was. God was like, dude, you've been reading the Bible for your benefit, not because you want me, not because it has anything about you wanting to know me and love me and grow with me. It's all because you've wanted quick fixes to your problems. You've been anxious. You've been worried. You're trying to just make me your magic little genie who's going to take away your issues of any sort just at the right time when you need it and you want it. And dude, that shook me to my core. And it's changed everything for me. It's changed the whole approach that I have when I'm talking to God now, because what I've noticed is, again, when I would read the Bible previously, whether it was me quickly Googling a place to start in the Bible or whatever, I would just randomly kind of open it and just like, eh, what are you saying today? Eh, okay, don't do this. That's a rule. Okay, don't do that. Like, it was becoming a rule book for me of, oh, it says in this verse that I'm not supposed to do X, Y, and Z. Okay, noted. And I'll just try not to do that. And that was like the most of it. But then when I had this realization of like, oh crap, like I actually need to like understand who God is. Like, if I'm going to claim to worship Jesus and be a Christian, I want to know more about this guy. Like, who am I actually claiming to be my God now that I've been saying it for like my whole life? And so it came down to the point where I was like, well, Lord have mercy, I tried reading from Genesis, and that is a snooze fest through and through. Not gonna lie, I just was not getting it. It's so hard to read. And so I was like, scratch that. We're gonna start at the New Testament where it seems like it's English to me. And so that's where I've started. I've got all the way through Matthew, and I'm in Luke now. But basically, I'm reading through the life of Jesus and seeing how the accounts of him have been written. And like, it's not so much of being like, okay, what are you telling me to do? What am I supposed to do? What am I not? And that's part of it. And I hope, like, I do have like little revelations with my reading sometimes in that manner. But my goal now, when I go and I read my Bible, is not to look at it as like a quick fix or a list of rules or something that can help me out in that given time. But like, my goal when I read the Bible now is to literally figure out who's Jesus. How did he move? How did he talk? What were his characteristics and his mannerisms? What were the things he did? And like, the more that I've done that, the more I'm like, holy crap, dude, this is making sense. Like, it's finally, everything's clicking in my brain. And I remember talking to Mike about it, my husband, and I was like, dude, this is so weird. Like, to read all of this and to see how Jesus was moving and how he was working with people. Like, I've always had the perception that Jesus is mean. And he thought that was so weird. He's like, what the crap? Like, do you know Jesus? I was like, apparently not. Now I do. But for a long time, I thought he was just like a very strict disciplinary figure. And I knew he was loving and I knew he was kind. And I knew that in my mind. But at the same time, I just pictured him as someone who was very like scolding and who was like pointing a finger at your face. And I'm like, dude, what a messed up perception. And I like, it almost made me feel so bad. Like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that I ever was assuming this was you. Like, I didn't actually even truly know who you were, Jesus. And so now I'm able to go into my readings and be like, oh my gosh, I'm amazed every single time that he is so much better than me. He, like, I mean, I knew he was better than me, but like literally in every sense of every word, like he's so much better and kinder and loving and sweeter. And for all those people who've been burnt by Christians, oh my gosh, you've not seen Jesus. You've not met him. Like, it's just, he's not mean. He's not condemning. He's not here to scold you and to yell at you and tell you you're not good enough. He will convict you if you feel like it. I mean, he's going to tell you. He's going to let you know, put you in your place if it's needed to be. But he loves so much. And if you're someone who's just hurting inside and you're anxious and you feel alone and you feel like you're just missing a piece, like, oh my gosh, you guys, I promise you, like, again, it's not supposed to be a pushy thing, but I'm telling you because I have experienced it now of like, he loves you so much. Like, there's so much love and care, and it seems crazy and wacky. And if you're not like someone who's been opened up and like open-minded to believing, like, you're probably like, dude, you are on something. Get it together, girl. But I'm telling you right now, like, there are not words to explain, and it's something like spiritual and supernatural that happens. And that's the kick I'm on these days, you guys. I cannot tell you what a game changer it's been in my life. So I have to like, let me backtrack now, okay? You've heard like, it's been great, it's been good, like, I feel like I'm growing spiritually and all the things, but I think what I really have to acknowledge in this was, again, that hardship where it was like a couple years where I felt like God wasn't speaking to me, wasn't moving, and truly, I'm gonna accredit this to my, like, I don't know, I guess to my parents for instilling like a hard work ethic in us, because at that moment, like, I truly could have been like, you know what, this whole Jesus thing, it ain't for me. I don't think I believe. And I could have just been done. Because again, for a while, I didn't feel God moving. I didn't know where he was. I didn't know if he was going to move in my life. I felt like, was he neglecting me? Like, I just was so frustrated with him because he wasn't showing up. And again, I was putting him in the bad guy seat where I was like, oh, how dare you not do this for me? Like, why aren't you coming to my rescue? And it was such a messed up perspective looking back at it. Like, my ego was booming out of my freaking ears. I don't know. And truly at that point, it had been long enough that I could have just, I don't know. I feel like at that point, a lot of people would have just stopped believing, stopped trying, said, nah, it ain't for me. This whole Jesus thing is not for me. And, you know, it's scary to think that maybe that would have been the end of someone's like spiritual journey. I don't know. So what I really want to encourage you in is, if you've been there or maybe you're in that exact spot right now, like, now's the time to take an introspective like evaluation of yourself and be completely, completely vulnerable and honest with yourself. And it's going to take a lot of putting your ego aside and not being proud and being incredibly vulnerable with yourself. And sometimes it's weird, but even doing that with yourself is hard. Because again, that ego, you guys, I know it can get in the way. But if you're stuck and you feel like God's not moving and you're just kind of ready to be done with it, I really, really challenge you to look at yourself and see, is there a different approach you could take? Because my guess is there probably is. And it's not that you're the victim. And we're so good in this society of victimizing ourselves and everything needs to be done for us. We're so deserving. Why isn't everything working out for our, like, it's a very, very toxic thought process. And again, I encourage you to really look at yourself and say, okay, where is the flaw in this approach that I'm making right now? And how could I reevaluate it and try from a different perspective? And be honest with yourself. And again, like when I first started trying to read the Bible, I just randomly flipped open to Exodus, and I'm horrible at memorizing scripture. So by all means, if anybody's listening to this and you're like a scripture guru, like I do not want to throw anybody off with the way that I paraphrase these things or anything like that. So please, like, by all means, if I mess something up, let me know so I can make corrections. But I feel pretty confident in talking about it, but still, you get the picture. So I flip over into Exodus, and it's when Moses like goes to the mountain, the hill, I don't know, he's gone. And the people are waiting for him. He's not coming back. And so they make this golden calf. And it's a pretty common story. Most people have probably heard of it, I think. But basically, they get tired of waiting to hear back from God. And these people are getting flustered. They're getting frustrated. They feel like they're left out to dry. And that's exactly what I was doing. And so they create a golden calf to worship instead. And basically, long story short, Moses comes back down and he's like ticked, obviously, because they're now worshiping a freaking golden calf. And one thing that stuck with me was this concept of they were idolizers. They were making idols out of something that was not godly. And it smoked me in the face, like a big old swift kick to the forehead when I read that, because that was the first time in a while that I felt like God had just spoke to me in that moment. And so I got out my little phone and I Googled to make sure that I was fully grasping what it was in that story. I Googled the NLT version of that part of the Bible in Exodus, and I Googled the word idolizer. I was really like diving into just that short little snippet of the golden calf story, and it was just like so apparent to me. Like, I had made such an idol out of, honestly, myself. Maybe was it myself? I don't know. Was it what I assumed God should be, or how I perceived God to be? Like, in my mind, he wasn't living up to my standards that I made him up to be in my head. And I was idolizing this idea of a God that he really isn't. And thank goodness he's not, because the God I had in mind was such a crummy, like, mean guy, truly. Like, that's kind of what I had cooked up in my head. And so I sat with that word idolizing, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I've had it wrong this whole time. I'm making things up in my head. Like, this is not truly where God wants my focus to be. And so I kind of let it sit, and I remember thinking about that word idolize for like all night, like literally laying in bed before I fell asleep. And I was like, man, like, that's just, it was one word that was just hanging on to me. And so I was like, okay, you know what? Let's do this again. Let's try day two of reading the Bible. So I went back and I opened up. Again, this is before I was going in any sort of order, and I was just kind of jumping around, but I was trying. And I opened up just randomly to 1 Peter. And 1 Peter 5, and it was, gosh, you guys, again, suck at memorizing scripture. But if I looked it up, let me look it up. Hold on. Okay, so 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and in due time he will exalt you. And again, it came back to this freaking smack in the face of my ego / an idolizing case / just like my weird perception of how I thought God was supposed to be. And the word humble was like, dude, this whole time he's been telling me to like ease up, dude. You don't know it all. It's like everything was just coming into my, coming into picture. Like it was just, it's all making sense is what I'm trying to say. It was all finally starting to make sense of like, oh my gosh, like I've been the issue this whole time. I've been the issue who's been just not humble, bossy, almost just like victimizing and just nasty, like barf. Like who has time for that kind of mentality? And I didn't even realize that I was carrying that along with me. And it was like, okay, at that moment, I was like, all right, let's start this thing over. And so that's when I finally went over and I started in the New Testament. But my whole purpose in mentioning this is like, I'm just so thankful that I didn't give up at that point, because it would have been easy to, if I'm being honest. It would have been really easy to be like, you know what, screw this. Like, happy for those who have found Jesus, but maybe it's not going to work out in my favor. And I just really wanted you to encourage you guys to don't quit. Don't be okay with not understanding. Don't be okay with not believing just because it's hard. That's one thing where it's like, man, we have to get some grit back in our society. We have to be hungry to know God. We can't just like fold at the very first inconvenience or the first complication. Like things are not going to always be easy and things are going to be hard, and we can't just be okay with not being okay. That's what got me is like, I'm not going to sit here and not believe just because it's not working out in my favor. Well, come to find out, God is way freaking better than the weird perception I made of him up to be in my head. And he is not called to live up to our standards. We are called to live up to his standards. And it's like, you can't do that until you make yourself move. You make yourself find a way through the rough stuff. You have to not give up. And I'm just thankful again that I somehow, I don't even think I realized I was doing it at the time, but I'm just grateful that I got a little grit in me. And chances are you got some grit in you too. But it's really easy for us to fall into that helplessness, neglected, kind of just wanting to give up attitude. And that's not serving you guys. It's not going to serve you. It's not going to make things easier for you. It's not going to make things better for you. And anything, it's going to just, if anything, is just going to make you adopt that mindset for your whole life, right? The mindset of, oh, things just never work out in my favor. Oh, things are just too hard for me. Oh, it never goes my way. What a freaking crummy way to go through life. Like, really, dude? Like, that's not it, you guys. And again, I just want to encourage you to don't be okay with not understanding. Get to the point where you're doing it for the sake of knowing Jesus, not for the sake of being a quick fix, something you need for your sake. Actually get to know him for who he is. Study his characteristics, his mannerisms. And guys, like, I'm saying all this, but please know I'm not perfect by any means. And so a lot of hesitation that comes with talking about God for me is like, oh crap, everybody's going to think I'm squeaky clean and perfect. Like, what if they start judging me and I am like falling short of other people's standards? They're going to think I'm like perfect. And Lord have mercy, I'm not. Can we take that like standard off of ourselves as Christians? Like, can we admit that we are normal human beings? And I don't know, like, that's not my argument to make an excuse for sinning, because that's not what I'm saying either. But like, when you see me out on the boat with my family, I'm having a drink, get over it. Like, I'm still a Christian. It's those things that I really, really wrestle with and that have held me back from talking about God for a long time. And I don't think that's fair. And I think the majority of us are in that same boat where it's like, we love God and we want to pursue God and keep growing with God. And we're not a bad person for also being a human. I don't know. That's such a sticky situation. Like, I don't even want to dive into that more than what I just did, because again, I'm not making excuses for like alcoholics and crazy parties and things that are not like good to do. So I'm railing, and that's a topic right there that I don't want to get into, but I hope you guys understand what I'm saying. Like, there's just a lot of pressure that comes with talking about God. And I just hope that we can remove that a little bit so people can feel more comfortable with talking about God. And it's very, very stinging helpful that I have talked to several of the girls that go to the church that I go to. And it's freaking refreshing, you guys, because of course you think meeting people at church, they're going to be squeaky clean, perfect. Everybody wears collared shirts and khaki pants when they're at home, and they all just, whatever, they're just perfect. And I'm finding through the people that I've met at church that like, we're all just normal. We're all just normal humans who are trying to get it together, who are trying to follow Jesus, who are trying to not, I don't know, cuss at our kids when they make us mad. Like, we are all normal and we're just trying to be better. And so that's my disclaimer right now. Like, it's hard for me to talk about God sometimes for that reason. Again, not making excuses to go running rampant, sinning and all, doing the things, whatever. But I just hope maybe, if nothing else, like, it might encourage someone else to talk about God and to not make it a weird, awkward thing where now the expectations are to be perfect, because you're never going to be, let's be honest. But the most important thing is that you're trying to just better your lives and the lives of those around you and your kids, and just trying to point everybody back to God. And that's the biggest takeaway. So I don't know, you guys, I'm going to wrap it up there because I'm spiraling a little bit. I'm going down rabbit holes that are not warranted right now. So I'm going to wrap it up right there. But I hope you guys have found some sort of encouragement in this, knowing that I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, even though I'm going to go through times, and I know I will, where things get hard and maybe I doubt God and I get frustrated with him again. It's part of being a human and trying to worship a perfect God. Like, things are going to be hard sometimes. But I can tell you guys, like, dude, there's just no way around it. With the things that I've experienced and the things that I see in other people's lives, it's not all about my life, but listen to someone else's testimony. Listen to how God's been in someone else's life. And if you're struggling with your faith right now, like, live off of that for a little bit. Like, it's not a bad thing to have your faith grow through someone else. And that's why we have to talk about him more, right? Like, that's why we have to be open to sharing about him. And it doesn't need to be a weird, awkward thing anymore. Like, let's just be normal humans and not make it stupid to have to talk about Jesus. Like, there's a lot of benefit that can come from sharing the goodness that's happening in our lives, because again, there are going to be hard, difficult times, and we gotta live through other people's faith at times. So if that's you, if God's quiet right now for you, and if you're feeling hopeless and you're feeling like, I don't know what the crap I'm doing, I'm just stuck in this mundane, like, who freaking knows what's going on? I just really want to give you encouragement. Look at yourself, see where you could maybe take a different approach, and honestly, pray about it too, because even though you feel like God's not speaking to you right now and he's maybe not talking to you, maybe you feel neglected, like, he's there. He really is. And the good news is, because he's been so quiet for so long, like, when you do have that breakthrough, it's going to be freaking awesome. And then you're going to be talking about it nonstop, kind of like I am right now. So anyways, you guys, I'm going to leave it there at that. And thank you if you've listened all this time, if you've made it this far. It's been good. It's been a fun one. Hopefully you guys enjoyed. And we'll do this again next time. We'll see you guys.